Oh, Mrs. Moxie, you're wanted in the studio, please.
I'll be right there, darling.
Yes, Queen, go Queen, dip it like a fairy queen. Put your inhibitions in a big U-Haul. Goodwill Gucci, wear my Chattahoochee's. Out in the country, honey, y'all means all. Y'all means all. Y'all means all. Hey!
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Out in the Open with the Moxies. We hope you're all enjoying this beautiful summer weather that we're finally getting, and today we are here to talk about Friendships as Family, Part 2. And with us, we have our very special guests today, Sadie and Jess. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Yes, and it's also the start of Pride Month. Mm-hmm. This is June 2nd.
Boop,
boop. Wow. Can you believe it's Pride Month? I'm not ready for this busy schedule.
No. I can't believe it's 2025 yet, so definitely also can't believe it's
true. Fair enough. True that.
Do you remember watching those educational videos in middle school where they're like, by the year 2020? And it seems so far away. And now you're like, here we are. And things have just gotten weirder and probably worse.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like, cool. Yeah. Great.
So this is the second part of our little mini series about chosen family and friendships to family, all those things. So why don't you each introduce yourself? Who wants to start? Jess, why don't you start? Tell everybody who you are and your little backstory.
Hi, I'm Jess. I am. What do you want to know?
Well, number one, you're my friend. You started
whoa.
Off as
you. Whoa. Okay. Whoa.
No. Sure. The reason
ladies,
why,
ladies, you're beautiful.
I know I'm popular. She says, "No." The reason why I want to lay that out is because that's part of this whole story is how Jess was my friend, Sadie is Ryan's friend, and when Ryan and I met, Jess and Sadie became friends themselves. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, friendships turning into bigger friendships.
It is. Yeah. You and I met in beauty school.
Beauty school dropout.
That was longer ago than I would like care to admit at this point.
Yeah. And you don't do hair at all. So.
No, but I got a lot of opinions.
You're
for
never
all of,
shy
of
Moxie's
an opinion. Clients. I've definitely been consulted. So I know about everyone's formulas. It's fine.
If I ever need a break from the salon, I'm going to call Jess and she'll do your hair.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not licensed anymore, but.
But she will only take cash, by the way.
Yeah, cash under the table. Yeah. Cash or cash equivalents. We met in beauty school, I think.
Wasn't it 2011? 2012?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yep. It's been like 15 years almost.
Yep.
So I think you're like my longest friend.
You guys are newbies.
I know you and Ryan have a little bit longer of a
just a tish, yeah.
But here's the difference. Like,
oh, I'm sorry. Is your friendship better than our friendship?
It's like
I'm
not quality saying, over quantity, but that's
have a friendship off.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. But did you guys meet by doing the Peanuts gang dance to each other and fall
was
madly in love?
Was that it? I
it
don't
was.
Think we'd even talked, and you just, like, looked over, and I was like...
Yes, literally that. Wah, 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 wah. Yes.
Yeah, because we weren't even in the same class.
No. But then you saw me from across the hall, and you were just like, yeah, I got to be friends
with
that one.
Yeah, it was like the sun rising over the horizon.
Yeah.
And it was just over for me from there. I was like, you're going to be my friend now.
So. Hey, I was with the wrong students, and you were just like, no, you're going to come with
come
me. Come to the good side.
You're raising the bar like real high because I'm pretty sure Sadie isn't going to introduce me that way.
This guy was all right. And he seemed like a passable roommate. Yeah, so then we lived together and then we were best friends.
Okay. So that's how you know Ryan.
Well, no. That's our summary I've right there. Known Ryan since elementary school.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear some stories.
I don't have any because I will be honest, we don't really remember each other from then.
That's
but
funny.
We did know each other. But we were a couple years apart in school. Mm-hmm. And of course, in adult world, that does not matter. But in school world, that can matter. So we did not become friends until the very end of high school.
So I have a really random memory of being at your parents' house in high school. There's a party or gathering,
whatever.
There's
always a party.
There's always a party in the gazebo.
Me and Jess love parties. Mm.
Do you like gazebo parties where people get drunk in cornfields?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in rural Minnesota, rural-ish, so yeah.
Good old Shakopee.
He's like the Orlando of
Minnesota. Oh, Shakopee, you city kid.
Yeah. It's the Orlando of Minnesota. It's all the fun stuff. Everyone comes there to have fun. Yeah, I like a party.
We also just discovered they have drag shows in Shakopee.
Yeah. So we'll have to check it out.
But Shakopee to us in Red Wing was like the big city.
Absolutely.
That is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to what we grew up in. But anywho, we did have some interactions in high school, and I would say like we orbited.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Because like we knew some of the same people and everything, and my high school class thought your high school class was like the coolest.
We were the coolest.
I wish I had been a part of your high school class. She was. Like so many things in high school. That's crazy.
Guys, if you want to avoid all your problems in high school, just be incredibly busy. Like join every organization, every group, be in every band activity possible.
My God. You're funny.
Yeah. So, but then after high school, there was probably like a year or two where we didn't really see each other or anything. But then how the heck did we actually decide to live together? Because to this day, I can't really pinpoint it.
I do remember that conversation quite clearly, despite having a horrible memory. Because it was at Perkins, of course. Mm-hmm. You were in
where
there
all
with
good
some
story
friends.
Starts.
Like 2 a.m.
Well, I was working at Perkins. And we just started chatting, and then suddenly it came up that we were like both going to be going to UW River Falls. We were both looking to live in the same area, not in River Falls. And then it was you who was like, would you want to like be roommates, get an apartment together? And I don't know if you were serious, but I took it very seriously.
I don't think I knew if I was serious. I think I was just kind of taking a stab.
I think it was really just a big game of roommate chicken, and neither of us backed out. So then all of a sudden, we were roommates.
All good friendships start there. Yeah. Just saying.
Yep. And you had like 3 jobs and was going to school, and I was working full time. And it was funny because even though we lived together, we like barely saw each other.
Rarely.
Yeah. Wow. And then after that, it just kind of kept happening. I think we kept playing friendship chicken after that.
Still going on.
And here we are like 20
years
later. Any
day now, he'll give up on me. I'll win the chicken game.
One of actually my favorite elements of our entire friendship is the fact that you just get me because I can be such a hermit and... She is like, I just know that about you. So I'm always going to reach out to you and I will always say yes. I will always follow through and make the plan and do the things and we will do the things and we'll have such a great time. But she just knows that she has to reach out to me.
I literally was thinking about that, thinking about doing this podcast episode. And I was like, I know Craig and Jess text like every day they say, when's the last time I text right? Has it been in this month? I don't think so.
Because we do a friendship like dump where all of a sudden we're going to get together and we're going to be together for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
But on a side note, you were also out of the country. So
I was out of the country.
So to give benefit of the doubt, you didn't really text Ryan during that month.
I wouldn't have anyway.
That made no difference. But thank you for trying.
I try. Whereas Jess and I are like, so I got something to say.
Yeah, like, are you awake? I need to call you right now.
Oh my gosh. I've come to love your 2 like morning chats because then I'll like jump in and be like, hey, Jess, what's up?
And then it goes from, hi, Ryan.
Let's talk about Star Trek. Yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, sunshine too and funny. Rainbows. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you both for being here, number one.
Yes.
Second, as you know, we usually feature 2 songs on the show. So we allowed, and I'm sorry that this did not come through in the text message. Sadie is very hurt about this.
Audible sigh.
Anyways, we finally got both of you to choose 2 songs. And we're going to start off with yours, Sadie. Please tell the listeners who we are going to listen to.
We are going to, is it my serious request or my joke request that we went with? I put a lot of fake song suggestions out there.
The last one.
Okay. We're listening to Elton John.
Oh, not that one. I'm just kidding. Yeah, oh, that one.
We're listening to Elton John now.
Yeah.
Elton John, who is obviously a gay man, who has been an incredible
artist
for a billion years. I have enjoyed Elton John. I would say I first remember hearing Elton John when Princess Diana died and did that song.
Yeah.
Was that Candle in the Wind?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which was already a song, I believe, but then he did like a...
But he did his version.
Revision of it for her passing. So I've loved him ever since. This song is just a beautiful amount of sass. I personally also really enjoy Elton John because he is just... In addition to being an icon, being incredibly talented, being knighted, and on and on and on, he's also just a giant fan of music. Like, I watched an interview where he was talking about how amazing Metallica is, and he was, like, tearing up talking about some of their music. And you don't think Elton John and think Metallica, but I love that he appreciated that. And so I think he's just a beautiful representation of being open-minded, open to new things, new ideas, new techniques, and that transfers so easily to other things.
Not to mention he's also, it's not just music industry knowledge that he has. He has musical, like he's written musicals.
Yeah.
So that's where our love comes into play, Jess. We love a good musical.
I do.
Hey, don't leave me out.
That is true. You got me hooked on Wicked.
Thank you.
Yep.
You do. If you want me to come back on the podcast to do every word of Hamilton, we could also do that.
I will do that with you.
Yes.
Can I be Lafayette, though? Because I'm always Lafayette in my head.
You know I'd never say no to you.
Thank you.
Oh. When Sadie invited me to go see Wicked... Mrs. Moxie was so mad at me.
I was so mad at both
so
of you.
So mad.
One like, of the first times I met you, Jess, you like yelled at me.
And I bitched about it. Yeah.
We met at that one restaurant in Hudson, and one of the first things, you walked up to me to yell at me for bringing
into
Wicked.
I was so upset.
I got you a mug.
Yeah, and I'm broke.
It's the same thing, basically.
Like yeah, right. Yeah, here's the Broadway show all in a cup form. Sounds great. So Elton John, The Bitch Is Back, that is what you're going to listen to, and we hope it brings you joy just as much as it does for us.
movies, weddings, breakfast, karaoke, retirement parties, dinner. No matter what you are looking for, the Grand Event Center in downtown Northfield probably has it. The Grand is a welcoming space for all and hosts a variety of weekly events, karaoke every Wednesday, dinner and live music every Thursday, and breakfast every Saturday and Sunday morning. Visit thegrandnorthfield.com for hours and information on events or call us at 507-663-1773 to book your private event. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
And we're back. That was Lindsay Ness over at the Grand. I love the Grand, don't you?
I sure do. Yeah. Their breakfasts are delicious.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay is also fun because we actually get to do a radio show together called Spill the Beans on the second and fourth Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. A pop culture caffeinated chit-chat with our buddy Ashley Bell.
Slay.
Slay.
If we you have don't a get that count. Joke, Ashley loves to say the word slay.
And is she solid Gen Zer?
Good question. I don't know.
She might be. Sure.
But the Grand always has some cool events. They have karaoke night. They have so many things going on. Coming up in July, we actually are partnering with them once again on July 19th. Yeah, 19th. Sorry, yes. my
Saturday,
dates.
July 19th.
Yep.
We are hosting Mrs. Moxie's Wet Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot Summer.
Wet Hot Summer. Sorry.
Yes.
May I ask a question about this event?
Yes.
Will Paul Rudd be there?
I wish.
I'm trying to slide into his DMs right now, so
I feel like
we'll
you
see.
Should just lead with maybe. Like, possibly.
Again, I slid into his DMs. So, anyways, we have Mrs. Moxie's Wet Hot Summer drag show with a wonderful cast. We have Lexi D. We have Azalea Selena Cruz from the Twin Cities, Aurora Vale, as well, along with the one and only Miss Diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. We have a great cast. And Azalea and Aurora are brand new to our cast. We've never had them in a show before.
But they are bigger names from the Twin Cities, and it will be a wonderful time.
Yes.
Show starts at 7. Doors open at 6:30. And there will be cocktails. There's going to be some bar bites. So many things. We call it Wet Hot Summer because think of your trailer park flamingo.
Super tacky summer. Yeah. Okay,
kind of rednecky, you could say.
Like, just make sure to. We encourage you to come in your best American summer attire with a tacky twist.
Yes, so it'll be a fun time. That's over at the Grand Event Center. And again, go check out their website for all other events and go check out them for breakfast. It's amazing. We love it. Thank you, Lindsay, for talking. And here we go with more of our show. All right, Jess, you ready for this?
I was born ready.
Let's go.
Fourth Aerolingus.
Right. So... I want to talk about, so we talked about how we met and then how you two met. Mm-hmm. Now, when was the first time you two met? Because I've heard different stories and I really want to know because this episode is all about friendships that form over time.
Okay, so in this iteration of life, we met, I think, at one of your Halloween parties, right?
That sounds right.
Wait, was that the party where we went as the Scooby-Doo gang and she was the Life Gives You Lemons?
I don't. No.
You definitely handed me a lemon.
Was that the first time we met?
Yeah, but I don't remember what I was dressed up as.
You were Velma. You were Velma.
Well, I'm Velma in real life, so that's fine. was that a costume? I don't know. Yeah, I think it was then. And it was Halloween before I had a kid, so I was actually having fun that night. if you know, you know. What was it? I think maybe I made a Lord of the Rings reference.
That sounds right.
And you did. And like, we're few and far between sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, again, you're going to be my friend now. You don't have a choice.
It was one of those like beautiful moments where when I remember it, I don't remember like the words. I don't remember what those like things were that clicked. But I remember standing in a kitchen and just being like, this is going to be one of my people. This one's all right.
And what you said.
That is so sweet. I like that. You remember the feeling. Yeah.
I have a question, though, because wasn't it shortly after you guys met that you exchanged numbers and you ended up going to a movie together?
Yeah, we went to a movie like the next week because one of the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit movie came out. Yeah. The That's third one.
Yep.
And then we sat in the theater and cried at the end.
Oh, for still many devastated. Reasons.
And then we went out for dinner after. And you like, had a good one-on-one. I barely knew you. Yep, we had a big one-on-one. Okay, spoiler alert. I was pregnant at the time.
And you didn't tell me yet.
I hadn't told anybody yet. And I was like, I have to tell someone. And this lady barely knows me. So she's not going to go tell people. She's not going to call my parents, you know. And that kind of was like, well, now you have to be my friend. So sorry.
Because we were in the middle planning our wedding, if I remember right.
Yeah, you guys were planning your wedding.
And I had just asked you.
To come
and be in. And we figured out your dress and we ordered it.
Had we ordered? Yeah.
We did order it because I had to return it.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just thinking about all this.
I can cut you a check now. I'm good for it now.
It's all good.
She can appear on your podcast.
Yeah.
She can shake me down for the dress money.
We've been married for 10 years, just for context.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's what I thought. You guys met, and then you confided in her, and
yeah,
all these
and I
things.
Was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, afford to go. Yeah. I'm having a surprise baby, so oops.
And then... Actually, just because we're on the wedding topic, you actually officiated our wedding.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Sure did.
Yes.
It's like, you know me, I'm always going to make a sassy comment, and I had to hold back from making a sassy comment about that because that was just like a very beautiful, awesome time.
It's so weird to look back on those photos, though, because you're so dark-haired, and I'm so used to you being
a
blonde.
That's true. Yeah.
I think that was like the darkest my hair ever was.
It,
like, it
was so
dark. With darkness.
Yes. One of my favorite photos from the whole wedding, though, is you with the sparkler in your hand. Do you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this?
The worst photo of me?
It's
really
funny.
Glad that's your favorite.
So she's standing there, and it's a group of us, and we all have the sparklers, and Sadie's front and center, and she's just, ha! It looks like she's going, abadacadabra!
Like, I would never reference Harry Potter, so I'm offended by you saying that. But
if I knew a spell from Lord of the Rings, I would say
there aren't any.
I was going to say,
I don't need that sort of trivial plot pushing in Lord of the Rings.
Jess is so done right now.
Someday we're gonna get you.
God.
But so anywho.
Anyways, the moral of the story is our friendships have kind of evolved and meshed into this like. Fun
glob.
Like, I think about how, you know, me and you were friends, and then you two were friends, and then it slowly became this thing, and now we have introduced our other friend Lindsay, and we now go out, we go to breweries. I'm driving all of you around because I'm the sober one.
Thank you.
But,
by the way,
it's also really funny how you, Mrs. Moxie, and Sadie have developed this really interesting dynamic of like your friends, but you have like a weird frenemy, like. But it's not real.
Publicly, we hate each other, but behind closed doors, we care about each other.
It's really funny because I'm like, why the heck did this come about? Like, I'm not mad at it because it's great theater.
I think,
but
I think what it is because you're married to me and you're her friend, and we kind of have this tension of like, who gets Ryan first?
Ooh. It's me. Okay, like that's I'm sitting in the shadows.
I literally
biding my time.
You are, but here's the thing: when I say to you, I'm going to go meet up with Sadie. It's not even like a, hey, I'm going to go meet up with Sadie. I'm like, no, I'm just, that's what I'm doing. I don't care what you're doing.
Bye. And usually half the time, just so you know, Sadie, I go, can I come?
And about 90% of the time when Ryan and I are together, I'm like, Craig could have come, you know.
And I'm like, yeah, I know.
90%.
I'm like,
what
I
about
just,
the other 10%?
That's when we're talking
hands.
About you.
Oh, and how horrible I am. It's fine. It's fine. So another thing that's evolved is, so we're all friends and we've all created these relationships as, a friendship group. But one thing that we have also changed over time is actually me implementing drag into the friendship. And I want to ask a few questions because I know Jess has some very strong opinions.
Oh my gosh, no.
So
Jess has strong opinions
on
anything?
Right.
Everything is a hill for me to die on.
Pretty much. That's usually how she starts our morning talk. She's like, I'm going to die on this hill, but I need to tell you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It could be the most mundane thing of all time, but it's fine.
So my question is, over time, as you watched me experiment with drag and things like that as a drag performer and traveling and things like that, what do you guys think of drag? And like, what are your thoughts and feelings about it, positive and negative?
Okay, first off, you're the best one.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Why do you say that? I'm going to ask that question.
Because I know you and I get to say I know her. I mean, like, what else would it be? I get to ride your coattails.
I am going to interrupt. I'm going to give the edge to RuPaul. But Craig,
oh, that's
close second.
So
Ms.
typical
Moxie.
Of you. That's okay, fine. We'll give it to RuPaul. But then close second.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. So positive and negatives.
Just drag in general.
I feel cornered right now. No. So maybe that. I don't know.
No,
you know,
I actually, okay, so to start it off, the reason why I wanted to focus on this is because so much of the time we just hear all these things from people of like, you're so great, you're so wonderful, da, 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 da. And I'm like, cool.
Which I love and appreciate and admire.
Well, we love that, but at the same time, I want to get into some of this nitty gritty because like anything in life, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, we'll get heavy real fast here. Positives are really fun. Negatives, I don't know if it's like negative, but like it's not
or something
the happy path conversation that normally happens when we're talking about drag. Is like when you first started doing it, I had like no exposure,
right?
Like none. And it's weird because like I grew up in a household where like you hear people like, oh, I came from a really conservative background. Like I had the opposite experience as a child. So like my parents always had gay friends. Like, so it was weird that I didn't have any experience with drag at all. And maybe
looking
that was,
back now.
Yeah. Looking back, it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
So I think like coming to shows and seeing you evolve over time has been like a personal thing for me so that I could like understand a little bit more about the community that I'm, I wouldn't say like in.
That you cheer on.
That I cheer on. Yeah. Like I definitely lots of people in my life are a part of it.
And I also will say me and you just went to a gala together.
Yeah, that was so fun.
It was super fun. So we went to a drag gala, and I think that also opened your eyes. It wasn't about a performance. It was just seeing these people.
Yeah.
That was
And
cool.
I honestly think that more of that should happen.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
With more of the public just coming and, like, not having a performance and just, like, having conversations that are casual and easy to have would be super beneficial.
Well, and I think one thing me and you've talked about, and we talked about it with Ryan a little bit, is, like, when we talk about drag, drag is a political statement.
Yeah.
It's a political statement. But if you're going to make a political statement, walk the walk.
Yep.
And one thing that me and you have had this conversation of is like, I still showed up for the Women's March. I still show up for the Hands Off. Like, I've done quite a few protests in this past how many months? And that's because it's something I believe in. And if I'm going to preach about inclusivity and equality and things like that, like, I, as a performer and as a human being in general, need to walk that walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's probably a pretty common, like, opinion is, like, especially for, I don't know, Sadie, I'm not, like, talking for you or for all women, but, like, I have heard it before in general is, like, women are the biggest allies for the LGBTQ plus community. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes I'm going to give a lot of, like, parameters here right now, but like sometimes
all the disclaimers
please don't cancel me, I love to be employed, but like sometimes it feels like the community doesn't show back up for us, and I think that's a conversation worth having because we have ultimately the same goals. Like our goals are very, very similar between those two communities, but versus like the women's community and the LGBT community. So,
I mean, the classic, like, we all do better when we all do better. And I think I think it's a careful conversation, but it is a valuable conversation to have of how we can all support each other and all be a community and never have the danger of being divided by outside sources. Because that's the classic game that we play is... people create this concept of enemies and fights and battles so we don't focus on where the real fights need to be.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
And it's a scary world. And why make it even worse? What can we do to better it?
Right.
Because stand next to people.
It's a trapping of identity politics that we all can fall into so easily where it's like, well, I'm a queer person. and yeah. people need to show up and support me. And it's like, yes, true. But you also need to show up and support for other people.
Correct.
Because yeah. especially when you get into layered identities, someone who is maybe queer, person of color, maybe a woman, you know, like yeah. there's, it can get so complex. Exactly. Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah. And that's where I love to have these types of tough conversations, because I remember when we first broached this topic with you a little while ago and you were like, no, I just want to support you and love you. And we're like, no, we know that.
Yeah.
But we also want to hear the things that we need to hear, because we as gay white men, we don't hear these things.
Wait, you're sometimes. Gay?
Are you coming out on the show?
I think I might be.
Big news.
You just broke Sadie's heart.
Beep, 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 oh, beep, no. beep,
I have been holding on these 30 years, hoping you'll marry me.
You still have those fake engagement photos that we took when we were...
Of course I do.
Yep. She cries to him every night.
Yeah. I cry because that ugly sweater I was wearing at the time.
Right. But, you know, I think having these types of conversations, not only as friends, but as, like, people who want to push the envelope and make the world better, these are conversations that need to happen.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you a lot to work with.
No,
here.
No. No, it's just...
It's just, like, so simple. But
when you had mentioned it on the phone about...
During one of our morning coffee talks.
Yeah, about...
yeah, well, I mean, which one?
Yeah, right. But you showing up and... Or for us to show up for women, and I yeah. was like, oh. Like, it just... It never quite hit me like that before. I don't yeah. even know if I'd ever really truly thought of it, to be honest. Yeah. And I was so glad you said that. Because well, I was like, you're right.
Not only from that perspective, the other thing is I had somebody... We were talking about it, and... As we all know, we can be our own worst enemies and our own, like, harshish critic. Good Lord, I can't talk. Harsh critic of ourselves. And one thing I do while I'm in drag is body shame myself. And if I'm gonna preach about being inclusive and
body positive,
yeah. and things like that, I can't do that anymore. And I didn't think about that mm-hmm. until somebody else brought that up. And it was someone who was very close to me. It wasn't you. But it would be something you would have said to me. Because we actually talked about that conversation the other night.
Yeah, I think it's like the conversation that, like, okay, I don't know what words I can say.
You just can't swear.
Okay, but are medical terms swearing?
Yes.
Medical terms are swearing.
No, sorry. Yes, you can say that is what I'm saying.
Okay, so you hear, like, all right, I'm just going to keep it super vague. But, like, I've, you know, you hear maybe, like, gay men say, like, ew. You know, lady parts, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's, like, not cool.
No.
Because my body parts aren't gross.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, they're not for you, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But they're not gross, and that's kind of rude.
Absolutely.
It's kind of rude. Yeah. So, like, I think it's just, like, little things that kind of
little microaggressions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is one of them. Or, you know, you hear, like, just like derogatory terms for women's bodies. You do hear that, like, in the drag space. And
yep.
I don't think that needs to be a thing.
Right. And, you know, there's always a shtick with drag performances. And yeah. I understand humor and stuff like that. But there's a fine line between mm-hmm. insult and comedy.
Yeah, like, you can laugh yeah. with us, but you don't need to laugh at us. And that correct. Goes for everybody and everything.
Yep. Like, correct. So... What are your thoughts on drag, Sadie?
I mean, similar to Jess, I was very fortunate to grow up in a household that was not full of hate, that was open-minded. And
oh, no, my family was full of hate. It
oh,
just
okay.
was, like, individualized.
Not this type of
it wasn't,
hate.
Like, for groups of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
like, so-and-so across the street is terrible.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so different.
I want to be clear there in case my parents are listening. Like, I picked up the message.
We think those gay fellas are just real neat.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They're real fun.
They had a boat.
Yeah,
let's be honest. It's Minnesota. They had a boat.
They had a boat.
But yeah. you were raised in a very accepting family.
Accepting family, open family, and especially for the LGBTQ community, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, that gay couple. It was that couple. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate to grow up without that being very otherized. My very first job was at a little ice cream shop restaurant that was owned by two women who were a couple. So I not only got it in that vague sense, but I got it in a very like human, knowing people sense mm-hmm. of being open-minded. And then like in the back to the vague sense, I grew up thinking drag was pretty normal for very like maybe silly reasons, but like Mrs. Doubtfire and Patrick mm-hmm. Swayze. And
I was just
going to
ask, when was like, your first experience with drag? Was that like your first one, like those movies?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I don't remember going to like a drag show mm-hmm. or those sorts of things as a child. Okay. But mm-hmm. I also don't ever remember thinking it was a weird thing to do. So I think the weird part for me about drag is that like then it was this very controversial thing that I had never thought of it as. And I had never really known there were people who did think it was controversial. So that was one of the oddest things was like, wait, you think this is a problem?
Right.
It was very hard to reconcile that in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, a lot of people don't know the history. Drag, the word drag actually comes from William Shakespeare. It's from theater where men played women in plays because women were not allowed to be in theater. So men would wear dresses and the dresses would drag across the stage. That's where the word drag came from.
Okay. I learned something new today.
Did you?
How did I not know that?
You didn't know that.
Ding,
yeah.
Ding,
ding. Ding, ding.
Nice.
Yep. So there's so much history to it, like you said. Like, and why is it all of a sudden controversial again? Because I was watching this video the other night, and it was about this gay guy and his straight friend. They were talking about it, and basically the guy ends up saying he's like, oh, I love Mrs. Doubtfire, blah, blah, blah. Like, he talks about all these shows that have Madea or, you know.
I, like, never would have considered them drag. Like, so maybe can... Sorry,
they're
like
playing a character.
This, but, like, they're playing a character. So, like, what's the difference between a man playing a female character and drag?
Mm-hmm.
Is there one? I don't know. Like, I'm actually genuinely asking.
No, I don't think so, because when I think of who Mrs. Moxie is, it's a character.
Yeah.
I think of her as a character. She's a country housewife that has champagne taste but lives on a Coors Light budget. Like,
it's just you then.
It's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Think Peg Bundy from Married with Children.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mixed like in with Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when people talk about it, I think you have Bosom Buddies, you have Mrs. Doubtfire, you have Madea, you have so many references, but that's all the men dressing up as women. They're not counting the women. You had Yentl, you had Victor Victoria, you had so many other characters that were portrayed by women who dressed in drag as men. You know,
Amanda Bynes,
she's not
nearly as notable, but
there's that movie with Hilary Swank.
Yep.
That's a great movie.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's so many movies out there. And again, it kind of goes back to what you said, Jess. It's a character. These actors are playing characters. So it's okay for that. But because it is a gay man, that is the part I think most people have issues with, is because it's a gay man.
Or at least suggests that they might be gay. Yeah.
Well, the person playing it is gay.
Do you think that's like the ultimate like no part of it?
Yes. I think that's where
People have that stigma about it.
I want to like pull it back. Okay. Maybe I'm talking on a turn here, but like pull it back like just a little bit. Like pull ourselves out for a second. Is it because of the perception that if you're a gay man playing a woman, you're doing something you shouldn't be because being a woman is bad? Or you're feminine, you know, less.
I would say that
a lot of those situations where women were dressing as men was for issues of like safety or getting into places
discrimination.
They couldn't get into,
access.
When I think of until you went like Amanda Bynes territory, when I was thinking of things like Yentl and whatnot, that also immediately for me, I connect to stories in the real world, like women who dressed as men during the Civil War so they could fight in the Civil War.
Right.
Like, and maybe that's just what my brain does because like I've created that connection because
you dress down because you don't want to
dress down. And I need those kind of, I need to think of women in those heroic ways for my own self and my own feminism.
Well, now that you're talking about this, there's another movie and I can't think of the title, but it's Whoopi Goldberg and Diane Wiest. basically, this goes even further. Whoopi Goldberg's character, I want to say it's the accountant or apprentice, something. Anyways, it's a movie from like early 90s, roughly. And what it is where Whoopi Goldberg, we all know Whoopi, she dresses in drag, but she becomes a white rich man of a company.
Okay.
So follow along with this. Not only is she discriminated because she is a woman, but because of who she is as a person. What is it called? The associate. That's what it's called. And people didn't take her seriously. So she decided to change who she was to become successful. And she did. But it didn't change anything about her because she still was that smart. It's a very interesting movie. But it goes back to your point, though. Why do women have to dress down to get recognized? Like, that's not the case. Like, people... I don't know if I'm saying that right. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the men that play feminine characters in movies are elevated higher. The women who play male characters in other movies, it's almost like they're suppressing their femininity.
Yeah, like the men get to be goofy when they dress up as a woman. They get to be kind of flamboyant. They get to be flashy. Mm-hmm. Then when women portray men, it's for like a serious reason usually. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying to get at.
You said like a safety reason or, you know, it's never like to be fun. It's never, it's not a comedy situation.
Unfortunately, no. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you. That's what I was trying to get at. Thank you. You were on my way of like, thank you. You know, and over time from early perspective of drag to now where, I'm just going to use myself as an example, where I'm at now, was there any time where like in that in between that you were just like, don't like what he's doing? Or is there anything in that sense?
No.
I just wanted to ask.
I mean, I think I would have just dropped you because that's the kind of person I am. No. I mean, I think I've said it to you before is like sometimes I have to go into it and be like, this really isn't like for me.
Yeah.
Like I am and I'm not the intended audience sometimes. It kind of depends on the performance and the show. But like one of my biggest like ethos in life is like, that's okay. Like, that's okay. And like, I would still show up to support you. I mean,
yep.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
It's fun to watch. Maybe I'm not like.
No, we I also. Think, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, like, I think I would tend to agree because similarly, like, I'm not going to go to every community theater production. I'm not going to go to every, like, coffee shop brewery, like, when they have a local musician playing music.
I'm never going to show up for brewery trivia. But I love that people want
to. That's a lie. You've been to two of ours.
Yeah. To drag trivia.
Oh.
Specific. I'm not going to show up to trivia whatever trivia at mafia. Some. No, I'm not going to say that. Paul but Brewing. Like.
Shameless plug.
I'm glad for you guys. Maybe they'll sponsor us.
Right. Yeah. True.
Yeah. And we also just had another conversation not too long ago where you actually enjoy our Christmas specials more than
the actual like drag show. I love like the shows that have like a script. Because I think that just, like, scratches my brain. I love a play.
Yep.
And you like the messages.
I love Christmas. First of all, I love Christmas. Christmas is fun, okay? And I would like more of it. It can start in September, all right? I'm sorry that something brings me happiness and joy. Like, whatever.
It's like Halloween. I'm ready for Halloween already.
You can have that. That's fine.
I love that for you.
It's free country, right?
Yeah.
Where were we going with this? I got derailed by Christmas. I was thinking about Christmas trees and Santa showed up. And
we were talking about the Christmas special. Yeah. Why you like that more than drag shows.
I love the Christmas special. I like the message, which is just like inclusivity.
Chosen family.
Chosen family. Yep. It's the songs.
With comedy.
With comedy. Everyone is having like a great time on the stage. And I think that's the best part of it is like just seeing everyone have like the time of their lives.
It's a
like
freaking
so fun. You are amazing.
And I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Surprise. Everybody
little Virgin fry. Mary to Belinda Carlisle's Heaven on Earth.
I know. I like to see you behind in the fry cook station.
Oh, that was your favorite part?
Yeah.
Literally everyone was like, oh my gosh, that song was amazing. I can't believe you did that.
Well, yeah, that was great too. Yeah. I think I have a video of it somewhere. Oh,
one of my favorite parts is when him and Izzy Stunnin are sitting on the bar stools and they're backup dancers.
Yeah. They're backup singers and we're swaying.
That was funny.
Yes.
But yeah.
I think I cried at the last show.
Girl.
Okay, I cried a lot, guys.
You cried a lot.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm a big crier these days in general, but like.
And we've had conversations of this. I don't cry.
I'm not going to call anybody out specifically, but like we came to the show and there were some people in the audience mm-hmm. who I think they were seeing themselves represented on the stage in a way that they don't normally get to see. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in the back, and so I could kind of see that happening. Like I was seeing the interpersonal like interaction happening mm-hmm. and I like lost it. And I was like, that's who this is for. And mm-hmm. I love that that happened. Yeah. And I think that needs to continue.
I mean,
and
we had little several people
who need that.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Well, I appreciate that feedback.
Both nights that were like there people we've never met that were just like, I just saw your show on a poster. And I want to come check it out. And thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, we're just doing something real silly up here. But wow. You know, I don't think about the emotional impact we can make sometimes just by providing that representation. So it's always kind of nice to just hear those stories. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it make more sense why I was like bawling when I came up to say
it?
Yeah,
it does now.
Okay.
Yes, it sure does.
I think like in a weird way for me, that circles back to like we were talking a few minutes ago about kind of the history of drag and femininity and how some of the histories of drag Jess mentioned were kind of negative about women. And one of the beautiful things about modern drag to me is how it's so different than that. Mm-hmm. It's so celebratory of femininity. It's mm-hmm. there's so many drag performers who just exude their respect of women and feminine things, and I think that can even allow women a level of freedom mm-hmm. of like embracing femininity in ways they might not feel comfortable in our world. And so I think that like the shaping and changing of drag is really cool to see from that mm-hmm. of how some of them might like there's always people who were doing it in a way of like celebrating women and appreciating mm-hmm. women. But there was also some of it that wasn't. And I mm-hmm. think modern drag is almost exclusively about celebrating femininity.
Yeah.
Have like you had a moment seeing Mrs. Moxie or anybody else, any other drag performers, where you saw something and you're like, I want to try that, or it inspired you?
I would like
to
wear everything in your wardrobe.
In my wardrobe?
Yeah, I would like to wear all of it. I can't fill it out, but I could dream.
There you go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, anything with glitter and sequins just always low-key appeals to me.
Yeah.
But also, if it's not like a black hoodie, I'm probably not going to put it on my body.
We will find you a black sequined hoodie. It's out there. I know.
I will find you one.
Yeah.
We'll or I'll make you one.
Yeah. No. Or charcoal
very
gray.
Like David from Schitt's Creek coated.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, literally, yeah.
I have a real answer. Like, not that that wasn't a real answer, yeah. But like, wow. I think watching drag performers makes me more secure in myself. Like, it has the opposite effect that other people say, like it makes me more secure in who I am. Is like watching someone else be like their authentic selves, like makes me less apologetic when I'm being me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got up on a stage and you did not care what other people said about you. So what am I worried about mm-hmm. living my life? And I'm not on a stage.
Right.
Like, that's so silly to me. So it like gives me some confidence. And I like, maybe that's what a listener needs to hear is like, if Craigie can get up there,
Moxie,
I'm going to call you Craigie forever.
Yeah, I know you will.
Like you living your life and being you, whatever that means for you is like, you can do that.
Well, thank
you. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Mm. Thank you.
That's the only serious thing I'm going to say. So
lies. You say that every time and then you come up with another one. Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, Sadie, about observing and like those types of things and how it's become more of over time. It's really embracing the women and empowering kind of that moment. The other thing is seeing things in a drag performance standpoint. There was one that sticks out to me because this person stopped me at the competition because I just recently did a competition. And the first night that I did it, in my 7 years of performing, I lost my wig. Okay.
On the stage?
On the stage. Ooh. In the middle of my competition. Yep.
I don't gasp. I gasped.
He clutched his pearls.
because I had a literally that. I was like, oh crap, like what's happening? And
so you did a great
job playing it off.
But one person came up to me after the show because I was doing this number of a bride seducing a husband, like very like I love you, take me as I am kind of moment to the song. And when I lost my wig, the person who saw it, because underneath I was completely bald. Okay. So I had a bald cap on. And this person came up to me because I finished the number, didn't let it show. I thought I hit it very well.
You really did. You did.
But the person came up to me and she said, you don't know this, but I had cancer. Aww. And to watch you lose your hair and still have the confidence in yourself to still want to be with your husband and try to like portray sexiness.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the tears coming in.
When I was told that, I was like, oh.
Yeah. That was a really
And she started crying
moment.
To me after the performance and everything. I was like, okay, this is why I do this.
Yeah.
This, not that I plan to lose my wig, but in that moment, I'm like, I'm glad it happened so that you could have that moment of like,
yeah,
I'm beautiful kind of moment. And it empowered her to embrace those moments in her life. So to get told that really meant a lot to me.
You really never know when you're going to have a giant effect on somebody.
Correct.
That's one of the biggest lessons, not to make this moment about me, but I'm gonna. That is one of the biggest lessons I've probably learned in my life. Like, through jobs I've had where I said something randomly to a coworker, somebody who worked for me, or just like other moments. And then like years later, you realize like they'll say like, oh, when you said that thing, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like you never know when a thing is going to affect you. And that's one of the beauty about any art is you never know when your art or how your art will affect somebody, no matter how you intended it to affect some people or not.
Right.
It could go a whole different way. And I think that's so beautiful.
You know,
you're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
This actually encompasses like the whole situation that we're talking about in this episode. We're talking about the effects that we have on each other's lives and stuff like that. And you two have had huge effects on our lives.
And yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And thank you.
More to come.
Thank
Again,
you.
Again, cash or cash equivalents to be accepted.
Right. So as your friends, we want to say thank you for being part of our family.
Oh, absolutely.
Gosh, you're so welcome. I guess thank you.
No, seriously, you two. Okay, I'm going to speak to Sadie first. You have made more of an impact in my life than you'll ever know. And you have been an incredible friend. And you fill me up with so much joy every time I see you. Even though you always have to pull me out of my hermit hole. And you have to be like, hey. And even though I might take 3 days to text you. You're always so good about that. And just being there, and that is worth everything.
Oh God, my Minnesota self can't handle these feelings. I need to make a joke to bring it back down.
And Jess, our love of Star Trek is so beautiful and so wonderful because I never find anybody who likes Star Trek as much as I
do. There are tens of us out
there. And I am so glad that not only have you been Craig's friend for so long, but you have become my friend too. And I am so
grateful.
Yeah, I'm
glad you passed the test.
I'm glad I did,
and
too.
And there was a test.
Oh, I know there was. Yeah. Trust.
Sadie said, is the test done?
It'll never be done. It'll never be done.
The trial never ends, Picard.
But,
I was told there would be Lord of the Rings references. I was not told there would be Star Trek references.
We're probably going to get matching Star Trek tattoos. I'm just saying.
Honestly,
it's
probably
going to happen.
Yeah. On that note,
I think Sadie's getting jealous.
I want to thank you, Jess.
Oh my God, stop. This is like, you can do some disgusting. We don't talk like this.
We don't talk like this. But you know where the bail money is at all times. You know where the shovel is.
I'll be right in the jail with you. So
I know you will.
You might want to tell Ryan or I.
Yeah.
We'll fill Sadie in on this because Sadie's the responsible one out of all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's also really good at keeping poker face.
Yeah.
So
facts.
Thank you for all these years of chaos and love and friendship and all the shenanigans we have ever been in through thick and thin.
it's a weird way to propose, but like, yes. Yes.
She will say yes.
No, thank you.
Thank you for being my friend.
Thank you
my
for
bestie.
Being a friend.
Yeah.
Thank you for always accepting my phone calls, even though I know that you are sitting there being like, what now? Like, this girl never, like, her life is not that exciting for her to be this upset. So thank you for always taking my calls and letting me rant my weird, sometimes always. Paranoid rants about random things that are bothering me that don't mean anything.
The inevitable dooming end of the world that you always complain about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah,
you're welcome.
I no appreciate problem. It. So
absolutely.
I know that's probably a lot. And just send me your Venmo so I can
sounds good.
Compensate you.
You're good.
Appreciate it.
And to Sadie.
Oh, fuck. Oh, sorry.
Beep. I want to say, as much as I love and loathe you.
Oof. Oh, my God.
Girl,
I love you. I know we have a complicated relationship, but we say it behind closed doors how much I actually care about you. And you have been nothing but a light in our world. And you have really helped Ryan become a better person.
Oh, 1,000%.
And help me become a better person. That goes to you too, Jess, because you put me in line.
All but, without being a good person myself.
I was literally going to say that. Right. I was like, one thing I can show you what not to do.
Yeah. So thank you for being not only our friends, but thank you for being our family.
Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you to the two of you and let you in on a secret that we've had a secret text message chain about how much we were going to derail this whole thing. And we didn't even do it. So we were
actually,
on our best behavior.
No, this has actually probably been
one
no,
of
I'm
my favorites.
Say, no, this is my favorite episode.
Yep.
So far in our podcast.
I would agree.
I love it. It's been full of laughter. It's had great conversation.
A lot of learning, too.
10 out of 10.
We've all learned something today.
Yep.
I mean, this is my first ever podcast, but I would also call it my favorite. But I think it circles back to, like, why all of us can be friends is as different as different as each of us is and as different as each of our friendships is. They're also the same because we all just get to be us. And that includes... who I am this minute, who I am the next minute, when I feel introverted, when I feel extroverted, when I'm sassy, when I would like to tirade for 2 hours about non-toxic masculinity representation in Lord of the Rings, whatever it may be.
Can we do our own podcast about that specifically? I have a lot to say about that.
I can
It'll
help create that.
It'll be a 3-hour conversation now instead of one.
Okay.
Like, but we all just get to be us. We don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. We don't have to perform. And I think that showed in how nice this podcast experience was.
Awesome.
You both are coming back.
Yeah,
at
you're
some
coming
point
back.
For something.
At
I don't know why.
Point.
It's just
can
happening.
Can we do the Star Trek episode?
I will not be back for the
That's,
Star Trek
you can
episode.
Listen, it's
queer nice. Representation in Star Trek?
No, just Star Trek, okay? Like,
oh,
why
okay.
don't
how,
we,
how
we
about
can
this?
Do some of that.
How about this? You two do a Star Trek and we'll do a Wicked.
Okay, but I like Wicked too. I don't.
Well, you got to choose one or the
competing
other.
Competing podcasts. Two podcasts enter.
How about
one
we do a crossover of if Star Trek and Wicked worlds merge?
Oh, Lord.
That is a drag idea.
That gives a whole new meaning to defying gravity.
Yes. You could do that. Like, what that if the wizard wasn't from Kansas and he came there by mistake? What if he was from Star Trek and he landed
People
there to
in
explore
Star Trek
that
are
world?
From Kansas. Have
well,
you
great.
Seen
then
that
he's
episode?
Also from Kansas. I don't
it
know. Where
be
was
the
Chris
crystalline
Pine
structure.
Born?
No,
okay.
He's a
okay.
entity.
We're getting derailed. And our we're getting derailed and our listeners right. are like, what is going
this
on?
This is what happens in the garage of all of Craig's parties. Is Craig and I speak off and we're like, stuff.
Right.
That's true.
Well, I have to say thank you again for coming out on the open. And also, as always, we close the show with another song. And this one is Jess's pick. So Jess, tell us about it.
Did you, I gave one and then I like updated it.
Yes, I updated it and I already got downloaded.
So, yep. Okay, so this is No Freedom by Dido. And I'm not like a diehard Dido fan. Like, she's great, but.
Is anybody?
No, I mean, no, I don't think so. But I do love this song and I've been listening to it a lot lately given events.
Nope.
And I think I'm going to get real serious here. I know I like normally
You're
joke,
fine.
But
You're
it has a super simple message, which I think speaks to basically everybody. And I think it's a good one for Pride. that everyone has the same wishes and hopes and goals, which is just the freedom to love without prejudice, without fear. And that's why I like the song. I mean, it really is that simple. It's a very simple message song, and I don't think it needs to be more complicated than that. And I think that's like the crux of all of my rants to you, Craig, is like, why is everything so complicated? It is. It's not that complicated.
It's not.
Okay, no. All anybody ever wants is to be left alone, and to live their life. Who they want and live their life.
Yep.
That's all we want. And maybe like a street taco.
Yeah.
That's all we really want.
Yeah. There you go.
So.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Out in the Open.
And if you didn't, you're dead inside. So.
Yeah.
I can't help you.
Sucks to be you.
And we and we will be back next month for another part of this wonderful mini series that we are doing. Again, thank you for tuning in to Out in the Open and hanging with us. And we are trying new things and the show is evolving. And we can't wait to see you. And also remember, in a world full of seagulls, be a flamingo.
Eat a lot of shrimp.
You're right. This has been Mrs. Moxie. XOXO.
Take it by your silence. And I'm free to walk out the door. By the look in your eyes, I can tell.
Lexi D, Mrs. Moxie's older drag sister. Did you know not only does Moxie have a radio show, but she is also a hairstylist? Let me tell you about Queenie's Salon Studio. Queenie's is an inclusive, welcoming salon for everyone. Come as you are, be authentically yourself, and get the royal treatment to boot. Mox does colors, cuts, wax, and even may have some specials up her sleeve. Located at 419 Division Street South, Northfield, in the same building as Verbena Vinyl. Call 507 507- 861-9700. For all other information, visit queeniesalon.com. Get on the books today and see what the buzz is all about with Queenie's Salon Studio and experience the royal treatment.